Welcome to the podcast of Trailblazers Incorporated, where we share the stories of trailblazing tradeswomen in hopes to inspire others to join the trades.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. With me today is Dana Francis, who is a journeyman certified, Red Seal endorsed steam fitter, pipe fitter from the Edmonton area. She is also a welding apprentice from the Iron Workers, Local 805. Welcome and thanks for joining us. So please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my name is Dana. I am a mom to a little toddler named Tesla, and she pretty much rules my universe right now. Born and raised in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Proud of it. That's home for me. And love working with my hands. I was always very artistically inclined growing up. Like, I have actually a diploma in visual art and design as well. And one thing I really loved about working in the trades is I noticed there's a lot of other women that a lot of us have arts backgrounds. So I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think that's something that, you know, maybe the people higher ups doing the hiring should maybe pay attention that as artsy-fartsy folk actually tend to succeed in the trades and do pretty well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And my husband's Saskatchewan born and raised, and we're part-time farmers also working in the trades. So he's a trailer mechanic, heavy duty. And yeah, it's very natural for us to enjoy being outdoors, working on things, building things. If I see something on Instagram, like, oh, I want that, I make it.
That's so true. Now you can, right? And that's one of the best parts, especially being in the welding trade. Of course, that's my trade. So, you know, that you can make whatever you want, really. There's just no stopping you. I guess maybe carpenters could probably do the same thing. I don't know. But welding, it just seems to be more fun. And it's really that creative aspect is so true. And a lot of the women I've had, the tradeswomen I've had on the podcast, did start with art background. One of the last podcasts I did, she was interior design, I believe. So yeah, you do have to have that artistic eye, that creative nature, right? So if you don't mind, I'm going to start with the questions. And now you've already had a sneak peek of the questions because I emailed them to you. So how did you get your start in the trades?
I have an extensive history in construction retail. So I really enjoyed that. I like working. It was more physical, like when you're selling flooring or molding or things for doing renovations. It's all heavier stuff and you're working in male dominated atmospheres and you're working with a lot of the tradesmen. So I just kind of got to the point where I had my vehicle broken into one day. And I realized that, you know, that working paycheck to paycheck is really difficult when you have unexpected. I had to miss half a day of work and I had to pay for glass. And it's just like such a small expense, but it really did set me behind for a couple months. And I was like, this is not going to work. I'm, you know, going on 30 soon and I can't be working like this anymore. So I was listening to the radio and I heard this advertisement for women building futures. And I was like, well, what do I have to lose at this point? I'm just going to apply and try to get into the program. And they accepted me. And the rest was kind of just history. I was just very open to taking every opportunity I could. Like, I wasn't one of those people that went through a pre-apprenticeship training program and thought, okay, I have to be a carpenter or I have to be a welder. I just came at it with a very open opinion. Like, I originally wanted to be a sprinkler fitter. The sprinkler fitters didn't want me, so I had to move on and do my own thing.
They're losing out.
Well, you know, to be honest, I think steam fitter, pipe fitter is a better trade for women over sprinkler fitter, as much as I really enjoyed it. It is, when you're working with smaller stuff, it's people think like the smaller stuff is like, oh, that's better because you're a woman and you're smaller, but it's actually the reverse. You're better off dealing with larger, like pipe fitter, and when you're dealing with like an 8-inch pipe, nobody can lift that. So you get to be good at rigging and you get to learn the tricks on how to get things where you need them to be.
Yeah, mechanical means, women building, right?
Yeah, work smart, not hard. The Women Building Futures, their program, they had an introduction. So they kind of teach you the basics of welding, carpentry, plumbing, sheet metal, electrical. So they kind of like dabble you in a lot of everything, which is really nice. Cause I mean, for me, it was, I really didn't have my mind entirely set in stone. It was more a matter of, I want to do something in the construction trades. I mean, I really wanted to be a sprinkler fitter at first. And I did do that for probably about a good 4 or 5 months.
It's great that you went through that program. We talk to a lot of people that have gone through programs like that, because I talk to a lot of people that are in the province of Alberta, but also Ontario and in the States and stuff like that. And it's really great to have a program like that. They're not available everywhere. It's great that you got in that way. And I love to promote programs like that for sure. So the next question, now this is, I don't know how this will work for you, but how far have you explored your trade? Because you are switching it up right now.
Yeah, I was a seam fitter, pipe fitter, and the interesting part was I did a lot of things that didn't involve actual pipe fitting. You would think that would be like the premises of your job, but I did a lot of glycol heat tracing, which is basically putting small diameter tubing on the bottoms of pipes to put glycol through them to heat up the pipe so all the fluids that are inside that pipe don't freeze up in the winter conditions. So I was doing that for the first year of my apprenticeship. And then I did a lot of hydrostatic testing, which is basically filling up the pipes and testing them at certain pressure rates to make sure that they're not going to leak when they're in service in the field. So I did a lot of that. And I also did some ready for operations work. So that was probably the thing I enjoyed most when I was a steam fitter, pipe fitter, because it's just a little bit of everything. It's like one day you're in the middle of, you're literally like inside an oil recovery filter and you're like taking the filters out and you're in a confined space. And it can be interesting. Sometimes you're in areas that have H2S. So you have to like fully pack up in the air pack with everything. And then other days you're doing something almost kind of like no brain matter required. I remember attaching all these little just little tags to a lot of the valves so that the people could lock them out. It was just like all this little crimping of wires. It was so meticulous. Oh, it was boring. I'm not gonna put it, but it was nice. You know, some days you need a boring day.
Yeah, no, definitely. You can't, you know, it is nice to break it up. And it's never boring, right? It sounds like you are doing like different things all the time, right? I have done a little bit of hydro testing, so I can totally relate there. Little bits. Usually when you're a welder, they want you to be welding, but I've helped out with and tubing. I used to help people do steam tracing, which is very similar to what you're talking about. And I'm not a good at bending. So it's an art. It's really an art, the way you have to do it sometimes, especially when you have to go around a valve or something, you have to bend it all funny and it's all, and they can't leak. And you know, you have to test it and make sure there's no leaks. Yes. Yes. It's a lot of fun.
Stainless tubing. You can use it and kind of just crimp with your hands, but there was like, I had a bruise on my stomach for the longest time because I would use it. I'd use my stomach and I'd like pull the pipe or the benders towards myself. So yeah, I had like permanent bruises from that job, but I loved it. It was very interesting and it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. And yeah, I mean, was steam fitting and my last job with the ready for operations. That's when I got pregnant with my daughter. So I was at that job until I was in my third trimester. And then in my third trimester, my employer said, "We don't want you here anymore. You were scaring us." So at that point I was forced to go on a medical leave before my mat leave. So,
okay. Okay.
And then after having my daughter, I just kind of realized that, like yourself, I want to be at home with my child. I don't want to be up and, you know, I love camp jobs. They're wonderful. You have someone else cooking for you. You have someone else cleaning for you. And the money I was raking in back then, like with the live out allowance, was just insane. I was only working half the year with ready for operations. We were only doing 7 days on, 7 days off. So you're only working half the year. And
that sounds actually pretty good. I have never been, and you're talking about working in Fort McMurray. I've never been to Fort McMurray. I've never worked a camp job, but yeah, to have somebody cook and clean for me 7 days on, 7 days off. That's really not so bad. My son's 16, so maybe when he turns 18, I'll head up there for a while.
It's lots of fun. I remember when I was pregnant with Tesla, they said you shouldn't be eating like undercooked eggs. And I remember not being able to have Eggs Benedict anymore. And I was just like, no, no more Eggs Benny on Sunday. What am I going to do?
Well, and a lot of people, because you're so well fed up there, a lot of people go up there and gain weight, right? I mean, there is a gym, from what I've heard, depending on where you are. A lot of people hit the gym, but I think that's sort of like that New Year's resolution. I'm going to hit the gym, and then you never do. Right? You just go and eat all the really good food.
I was pretty good for it. I did actually hit the gym.
Did you? Now you changed trades. So how far did you get before we get into the welding? How far did you get in the steam fitter, pipe fitter? Did you ever become a foreman or anything like that? Or were you always just on the tools? Okay.
I was always on the tools.
So now you're
honest, like I'm one of the personality types that I think I'll always prefer being on the tools versus being the one in charge of people. It's just if I'm in charge of more than like 3 or 4 people, I tend to be the type of person that just gets a little frazzled.
Oh, is that right?
Like, I can hardly keep myself organized. I don't want to be responsible for other human beings.
You know, that's funny because foreman positions kind of got offered to me along the way. Like it was suggested to me in a few places I've been, and I refused to do it because I didn't want, you know, to foreman and stuff always take work home with you, with them. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, I'll be a welder all day. You know, I'll be the worker all day long. And when I get home, I put my mom hat back on and then maybe my girlfriend hat. I'm still a daughter. You know, I'm still a friend. I have all these hats that I put back on as soon as I leave, you know, the construction site, the plant site or whatever. I didn't want to have too much stress. I was pretty like full already. That's why I turned it down. I mean, but me, especially now, I mean, I've been in the trade for so long, I think, so I would say give it a few years and then see if you want to be foreman. Cause you might.
Yeah. Not with a toddler in the house. I'm good. I got that full plate. She's two, three plates on her own. So.
Yes. I remember those days. good times for sure. So what is your favorite aspect of your trade of choice? Now you can talk about either trade if you want.
Well, at this point, I've been doing welding now for close to 2 years. So mostly working in a structural steel shop. And I think that's probably the most rewarding part has been the welding portion of it. And also actually finally getting to do some fitting. It's beautiful when you see a couple pieces of random metal and you put them together and then they turn into something and then you get to weld them and then it gets to go over to QC and you just get to take pride in your work. And I'm a bit of a dork that I love cleaning my welds. It's just like, I want to make them look pretty. I want them to shine and not have spatter all over the place or have weld defects. So I can be quite hard on myself at times because I have fairly high standards. So when I'm unable, and I mean, welding's one of those things. It's like some days you have good days, some days you have bad days, but until you're like really experienced, you're not going to. Even the good welders have bad days. So
it's really hard.
It's a mental game. So for me, I think that's been the part I've enjoyed about welding is that I'm trying to slow down the brain and not be so critical and just enjoy it. Cause it's almost like meditation sometimes. If you get in the right zone and you're like, your welds are looking good, you get that immediate feedback straight away. Like you don't even need someone to tell you whether or not you're doing a good job or not. You can look and you can see.
Yeah.
Versus with pipe fitting, because I was still new to the trade, there were some days I was like, am I doing this right? I don't know if I'm doing this right. I was like, where's my foreman?
Yeah. How long were you in the pipe fitting trade?
Just under 4 years. So, I mean, I was very green by many standards. And I think that's why after having my daughter, I found it very difficult. I mean, it's the economy as well, but I found it very difficult to find local work with that trade. And it was just being a green journeyman during a recession pretty much means you're an unemployed journeyman.
Yeah, it can. They definitely will take somebody more experienced over somebody that's new. I mean, but you're union, so sometimes you just go down the list and you get hired, you know, when the jobs are available. My these two certificates behind me that are in the middle here, the above and below, those are my mm-hmm. father's certificates, and he's a steam fitter, pipe fitter, and a journeyman certified welder. So when you're done your trade, you're going to be a hot commodity, right? Dual ticket is very, is, you know, everybody wants a dual ticket, right? You can do both the fitting and the welding, right? Not that anybody works alone, but if there's an issue, you can go over and help a fitter. If there's an issue with the welder, mm-hmm. you can go and help a welder. So, so yeah, it's, that's a really good, good thing that you're doing for sure. And as far as the welding goes, yeah, we are very hard on ourselves, right? We just want to be the best that we can be, right? And that's all that you can do. And bad days happen to everybody, right? So it is what it is. I remember having bad days where nothing, everything I touched just was not working for me. So it's just like, you know what? It's almost 4 o'clock. Day's going to be done. Tomorrow's a new day. I just give up, go home, order a pizza. Don't even cook. Just go to bed early, call it a day, right? Because everybody has bad days. Okay, so what obstacles have you overcome along the way? You were talking about having a little one. That changes things, doesn't it?
Everything. And you know, the situational irony of it is the fact that I got into the trades because I wanted to have kids. Because when I was working in construction retail, I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to even afford. Back then, my idea was to adopt a child one day. So I was like, I can't ever afford to take care of another human being if I can't get my income up to where I can even sustain myself, let alone another human being. So yeah, but now that I have her, I'm like, wow, this is, construction trades are not exactly parent friendly by any means. I mean, I know some people manage to get by quite okay, but I've really found it a huge struggle. I mean, especially in the times of COVID, like I missed over 2 months of work last year, and it's just been, if anybody's had a young child in daycare, you know that they're bringing everything in the kitchen sink home. So it's like every time I was turning around, she was sick. When she wasn't sick, I was sick. And then it's like every single time that happened, you have to take 10 days off of work or 14 days off of work, go for COVID testing. And it's mentally and physically so exhausting.
It was
a lot easier pre-child because I could go up north and kind of not have to worry so much. Yeah. Just go from one job to another. And I was never really too, like, I always knew that there was going to be another job around the corner at some point. So I never really worried about it too much.
Yeah. You and I have talked other, you know, outside of the podcast about childcare too. And because of your and I, our conversation that we had, I am going to do a podcast that is strictly about childcare, and it's going to be a multiple amount of people. I think that's really important because that's a huge thing, you know, and it's not just, mm-hmm. it doesn't just affect tradeswomen. It affects tradesmen too, right? I mean, whether you're together or separated or divorced or whatever, sharing the childcare duties. I mean, childcare, I mean, we've been in the trades for a long time. I mean, what were people doing all this time? Because it was sure a challenge for me, right? So I'm looking forward to that podcast because I think it's time that we all get together and we, you know, present it to government and say, hey, we need to do something about this, right? Because the less challenges we face, the better. And mm-hmm. We are facing an upcoming shortage of skilled tradespeople of up to 250,000 tradespeople across the country in the next 5 to 10 years, they're predicting, due to a retiring workforce. So if they want to recruit and retain, you know, men, women, or otherwise in the trades, they need to step up and you know, help us with these obstacles, because the government can do things like that. I mean, just you and me going and complaining that they don't open early enough is not enough, obviously, because it hasn't changed yet. What other obstacles did you face? Like being a female in the trade, did that present any interesting situations? Were you ever the first on the job site kind of scenarios?
A couple jobs I was maybe the first, but it always seems like there was other women around somewhere. I mean, I know when I was glycol heat tracing, that was the very first job I ever took. I was the only woman on the tools on that side of the mod yard. So there's been a few times, or just like lack of access to women's washrooms and the porta potties being scary at best, and, you know, dropping your pen and being like, do I really need that pen anymore? No, I think I can just leave it down there. I'll leave it next to the piecicle urinal thingamabopper. That's I don't even think it's just a woman thing. I think men like hygiene, basic hygiene, like running water. And I think that with COVID, it's just kind of emphasized the fact that, yeah, it's not just a woman thing. Everybody likes to be able to wash their hands because it helps prevent the spread of germs. And it's just...
Exactly. And we need to eat lunch. So when you're, you know, and sometimes we're sharing tools. So if you've been to the bathroom, to the porta potty, and you are unable to wash your hands with soap and water, and you're touching tools and other people are touching those tools, that's a huge thing. And what about lunchtime? Right? I don't want to eat a sandwich that I've just touched a hammer that 10 other people just touched. Even if I did wash my hands, right? And COVID really did help that. Not that anything good came out of COVID, but at least, you know, there seems to be a trend that the construction sites have stepped up their personal hygiene tools available to the tradespeople. So were there any other obstacles for you along the way?
I know when I was pregnant, it was pretty interesting because on some of the well pad sites at one point, because they're like, oh, those ones are commissioned. We're going to take the porta potties out of there now. And I was like, and we went to go do some work out there. And I'm like, I'm very pregnant. I don't know if you understand what this means, but this means I have to urinate on a very regular basis. And there's like no trees for miles on end. And I was like, I don't know if any of my coworkers want to see me attempt to pop a squat in the middle of the field.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? That's complicated.
It was frustrating at there. And it's interesting because when on the Alberta Women in Trades group, we started this conversation a while ago that there was one of the women, she was like, I don't know, should I, you know, be quitting my job, or what should I be doing if I want to be pregnant on site? And I remember when I was there, the first moment I took my foreman aside and I told him, I was like, hey, guess what, I'm pregnant. He's like, congratulations. I don't know what the heck we're gonna do. There's no manual for this. Just a second. I'm going to go to the higher ups and, oh my God, this has never happened before. I was like, this is a very big site. What do you mean to tell me? They're like, we've never had to deal with a woman on the tools being pregnant before on this site. I'm like, wow. It's like, this is not exactly like 1942 anymore. I was like, you have other women that work here. Like, this is not that difficult. And I've found a few times in the past that people try to get me into office jobs. I don't know, it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, there's a lot of men that would like to do that kind of work in the field, and they're not necessarily given the opportunity to. And then people see me and, oh, she knows how to read and write, let's put her in an office. I'm like, no, it's far away from my personality or the type of work I enjoy.
Yeah,
as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So I've for sure had a few negative experiences, like many people, I think, just in working scenarios in general. But I think that comes to a certain degree with being a woman that's working, period. The other day I was at Walmart and my cashier, this guy kind of came over and said something to her, and you could kind of just see by her rolling her eyes that she's like, was not appreciative of that man's company and his observational skills, that maybe she wasn't too happy about. And I was like, yeah, just I can say a lot of negative things have happened to me in my entire working career, and it's not necessarily just in the construction trades.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same for like bad days or hard work, or, you know, I think a lot of people really think that work, being a woman in the trades, you get a lot of flack. I agree with you. I don't think it's any more than it would be if we were working at Walmart. It's just, you know, there are people out there that are not nice people. You know, it'd be really great if we could like fix that, but you know, we're working on it, right? One step at a time. But yeah, no, you are going to find people like that, no matter where you are. Yeah. No, I don't want to bring you out all your stories. No. I was just wanted to talk about any obstacles you had.
I think it's really good. Because I mean, the more you talk about some of the ways that other employers can improve, like I guarantee you the job I was at, I guarantee you they have a pregnancy policy of some form now, and they kind of have an idea of what to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it takes trailblazers to light the way and make room for others. And that's like why organizations like Women Building Futures is like they've indirectly and directly help thousands of women, because now that we're in the field and we can show that we can do the work and that we have good work ethic, it's just, it makes room for other women to come forth afterwards.
No, that's very true. I mean, even when I started, the whole bathroom issue was kind of like, well, where do we get you to, like, even the locker room. I mean, I just got a locker in the guy's locker room. It didn't bother me at all. Like, I'm not stripping down to my skivvies or anything. On a hot day though, if I was wearing shorts under my Carhartts, I just went to the bathroom and changed. But a lot of the guys were stripping down to their underwear, and if, like, I just looked away and they didn't care. But I think there were enough that were bothered by it that finally, after probably, oh, maybe, I don't know, it was quite a while, maybe 7 years, finally they gave us a locker room. Well, more women started showing up too, so you know, they couldn't just tuck the one woman into the way back far corner. There was like more of us.
The broom closet, the broom closet.
Yeah. So we took over the handicap bathroom, which I was kind of like, excuse me. But anyways, we did get lockers in there. It was a large space for all of us to fit in there. And it was a changing room. So it was good for us. And then the bathroom kind of scenario changed for us too. I used to use the secretary's bathroom a lot in the places I went, but I'm dirty. And they were like, we don't want her in our bathroom because she's dirty. I'm like, hey,
a good way to make really bad friends with the HR lady is to be using her washroom. And I was like, I get it. Like, if I was working an office job and I was looking as good as they're looking, I wouldn't want to be, you know, have grinding dust.
And you can't help it. Like that one place I worked, I'd take my boots off as soon as I'd get in the door, and I still walk with my Carhartts. I pull them up so they weren't dragging on the floor, walk to the bathroom. Well, still, you're still making a mess. You take off your welding hat and you drop it down on the desk, and there's a ring of dust around it. When you pick it back up, you're like, oh no, I got to like clean the bathroom after every use. But things are getting better and better all the time. And you know, like the more women in the trades, the better, right? Because then they're recognized these things that they need. And they need another thing that we are finding too is properly fitting gloves and workwear that they supply, right? They have to have, I don't have small hands, so it's never been an issue for me, but there are women and men that have smaller hands and always have these big bulky gross gloves that they have to try and work in. And it's actually a safety concern, really. Mm-hmm. And harnesses for me, when I used to get a harness from the tool crib, they'd always be too big. So now you can get, they do supply at a lot of places I've been to in the last, say, 10 years, they do supply women size or at least smaller sizes, right? That if they don't have the women's, then even a men's smaller size is better than an extra
large. I'll usually
just
buy my own, because honestly, if you can get the ones that have like the quick connects with the legs, I love those, because even when you like size it for yourself, for your body, the minute you have winter layers on, well, it's like a whole new ball game. So I honestly just supplied my own even when I was given.
Yeah. Well, and at least you've known where it's been and it's not somebody else's sweat you're wearing. Right. Anyways, enough of the gross stuff. Let's talk about gross stuff. Okay. Next question on the list is, did you have other women to look to for support while you were, well, I mean, you're still in an apprenticeship. So far.
This job, my most recent job I've been at has been awesome, because there's been the three of us. And with the COVID restrictions, there's not as much room in the lunchroom. So we've been having our lunches in the girls' locker room, and the guys are always like, why are you guys always laughing so much in there? I was like, we're just having so much fun. And it's awesome having those supports for you there. Cause it's like every single lunch I'd be sitting there and I'd be asking the third year apprentice, I was like, what would you do if you were doing this? And like, this is the scenario. And she would always give me tips and advice. And if she was like kind of confused as to what I was talking about, which is probably I use way too many words to describe things. So this is like, you know, that thing is no. Okay. Yeah. She'd usually be like, okay, Dan, I'm just going to come over and look at what you're working on. So for me, I've definitely found that having those other women around just to kind of, and also to share your frustrations with, because a lot of the times when you're going, I think I must have been at my job for like 2-3 months, and my foreman or my lead hand comes over and he says, you have your Red Seal ticket? Like, yeah, I don't advertise it. I've never been like the kind of person that goes and goes, oh, this is my qualification. This is my call. And he's like, oh, I feel kind of stupid telling you half the things I've told you now. And I'm like, no, it's all good. I like hearing different ways people describe ways of, because if I have knowledge, I like to share it. So the more ways and the more different ways of learning something, it just helps me down the line.
Well, and you never stop learning, right? I mean, you know, I've been in the trade over 25 years and I still learn stuff, right? And that's the good thing about changing jobs, right? And having somebody tell you how they would do it, right? Because you're like, hey, that's a neat little trick that you do there. I didn't know that before, right? No, that's really good to learn from everybody, right? So yeah, he might have felt bad. But yeah, like you said, you probably learned a thing or two maybe, right? Yeah. And having other women around, that does make a big difference, I think, right? And I mean, a lot of our brothers in the trade are very supportive of what as well, but sometimes the women just get what you're going through. Like, especially if you're having a bad day, you might not want to talk to one of the guys. You just kind of want to, you know, say, hey, you know, this happened. Or, I mean, even if it's something personal in your personal life too, it's because we spend so much time at work. Like really, we spend like, we're gone 10 hours a day, 8-hour work shift, half an hour for lunch. You know, you're talking a commute, usually an hour to and from work. So, I mean, a lot of the time that's consumes your whole day. So if you got something on your mind, right, that's happening in your personal life, and I'm not talking like fight with your husband or anything like that, anything, I want to buy a house or I want to buy a car or anything. It's kind of nice to have that support network, right? And another thing too, if we're talking about women in the trades, Alberta Women in Trades Facebook page is actually how you and I met. And Miriam Jordy started it. I did a podcast with her not long ago. And it's just a fantastic network, right? I think it's over 1,300 women in it now. Yeah, it's got to be close to 1,400. I was invited onto the admin. So, I mean, I'm getting more and more involved. I don't know if I have time to do much, but it's just a great organization. And it's a great way, like you said, if you have a question, you post it and you get like 50 answers, right? Of all these tradeswomen. And there's other organizations or groups, I should say, on Facebook, like, you know, Women Welders, there's like stuff that's in the States, and there's stuff that's just provincial. There's stuff that's like Canada wide. So, you know, there's a lot of really good groups now that social media is, it's just another way to find support for, and
well, it's interesting because back in 2013 to 2016, me and one of my friends, we had, trying to remember what it was called, Women in Construction Trades Alberta. We had our own like social networking group that we would go and meet up with other tradeswomen in the Edmonton area, and we absolutely loved it. But it turned into a part-time job, and for both of us, it was just, when you're working shift work and when you're working a lot of hours, it became very difficult to manage. And also there'd be sometimes we'd have meetups and be like 8 people would say they'd show up, and then like maybe only 2 people would show. So it kind of got to the point where me and my friend were from out of town, so we're like, it got to be a little too much. So that's where I really love how things have kind of like sparked on Facebook, because I think it's more manageable in this. I mean, I'm sure Miriam, probably it's become her part-time job, and I absolutely love her for doing it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is a lot of work to have to kind of make sure that it remains a respectful environment for women to communicate on.
Yeah, and that's why she's invited a lot of other women to help out with the page itself, and we've kind of all got our own little like jobs or duties and stuff, right? So yeah, I love to be involved. I honestly can't take any credit because I really don't do much. I did the first in-person meetup with us, and it was actually the opposite. I expected like 7 or 8 to come, and like we got 15 to 20. So it was actually pretty cool in person just before COVID hit. And now we're going to do sort of online meetings and stuff. I did try one, but not many people showed up, but it was December and we didn't really announce it very well. So we're going to start doing that again, but we'll see if I have time. I might not necessarily be the host of that one. Maybe. That's a maybe. That's a definite maybe. Anyways, okay. So next question. What does a day in the life of Dana Francis look like?
Right now, I got laid off right before Christmas. So I'm one of the people that's kind of, I've been working towards getting more CWB tickets and also contemplating, well, probably will be taking some courses to get my Blue Seal as well. So I for sure am not one of those people that likes to kind of stay home. And as much as I love my daughter, I have to do some things that are for me as well. But I'd say I suspect I'll be going back into the shop here in the next month or two. So that's not exactly a long-term layoff by any means. I will usually go in and we'll do a safety meeting, and then we'll be get assigned a station. And then we have a bunch of structural steel components on that station. And then we just start welding away, and it's just pretty much a lot of grinding, partially because I'm still learning, but also just, I mean, that there's a lot of grinding to welding. It's like you have to have the area cleaned up before you go in and weld it. So, yeah. And if you want to take pride in your work, there's going to be a certain amount of wire wheeling, obviously, afterwards.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I mean, but I also jumped around at my job because I am only a second year apprentice there. So I was doing some loading of, like, I would type things into the computer and create a load and get that onto the trailer, and a lot of grinding and a lot of helping out with the detail boys. So doing some mag drilling, and just basically, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a big drill. It attaches with a magnet and you drill holes, and it's one of those very monotonous and boring tasks, but it needs to be done. And yeah, it was just a lot of helping everyone, which is kind of fun when you're new to a trade, is that you do still get to jump around a lot more and help. I enjoy helping people. I was like, if I could have like one role, be like, I just want to help the fitters and help the welders and help the detail and help the shippers and...
Well, and that's usually what apprentices do, right? A lot of people say that apprentices only like look over the shoulders and sweep the floor, and that's not true. You do go and help everybody because that's how you're going to learn, right? You're going to, you know, and a lot of times if something new is happening in the shop, if you have a good shop, if you're working in a good shop, and it sounds like you were and are going to again, they'll pull you over and they'll say, hey, this is something new that we don't do very often. Come and learn from this and stuff. And it's pretty cool. It's a good time to learn when you're an apprentice. Not that you ever stop learning, but yeah, no, that sounds pretty good. And then at the end of the day, you put your mom hat back on, right? Mm-hmm. And you go home and do it all over again, right? The next day.
I was working nights, so it's like I'd put my mom hat back on, go eat dinner, sleep for 2 hours, take her to daycare, fight with her for 2 hours to get her to daycare. So that's where like parents really do need that extra time in the morning to be able to, like, because I can't take a job. I can't even go to school right now because school starts at 7 a.m. For me to get my daughter to school or to daycare, to get myself through traffic, to park, to get into school, I can't do it. I have to basically ship my daughter off for 2 months just to be able to go to school. So my parents are going to be taking care of her when I finally do go back to school. And I remembered emailing Nate and being like, hey, I know your main campus, I hear that they have like childcare and whatnot. Like, are there any daycares even within like a close vicinity of where I'm going to school? And they're like, I think it was like maybe a one sentence reply, like, sorry, we don't have daycare options. And I'm like, cool. This is not an issue I had back before when I was a steam fitter, pipe fitter. Like my whole life kind of wasn't revolving around another human being.
Yeah. And, you know, I think something as simple as daycare's opening earlier would solve that.
At the same time, it legit can take my daughter up to 2 hours to get her to daycare at times. It has. And yeah. People don't understand. They're like, well, try using discipline. I was like, I've tried everything in the book at this point. Like we live within one block of our daycare. So I'll walk her to daycare. And there's literally been days where she has been over my shoulder, kicking my chest, kidding. I was like, it's just, yeah. I know my mom always said I was going to pay for my strong-willed ways one day, and I was like, yeah,
here it is. Here it is. Yeah, you know it's really funny because that takes me back. I just remembered something that I totally forgot. When I used to get to work, and you know, we'd be talking about, you know, being tired or whatever, my son didn't sleep through the night until he was 9.5 years old. So I was always tired, but I would say, well, it's a long day because I get up at 5 or whatever. And our shifts would start at 7:30 or 8. And they'd be like, why do you get up so ridiculously early? That's why. Cause you got to get another human being already dressed, fed, lunch packed. If that's what you need to do, put the snowsuit on or whatever's going on. Right. Cause they're going to go out, you know, outside when they're at daycare. And that's me times two. And you know, I'd always look at, especially the young tradespeople that I was working with, they'd roll out of bed like 5 minutes before they'd have to leave the house, right? Throw a loaf of bread and a package of meat in their lunch bag, and they'd be out the door and they'd stop at Tim Hortons on the way. Number one, I can't afford Tim Hortons every day way back when, because I wasn't working overtime at the time way back when my son was little, because I felt bad, right? I just wanted to be at home with him. I can't afford Tim Hortons every day, and I have a little human to get ready. So yeah, I was getting up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to start at 7:30. But yeah, I mean, daycares could help us out a little bit too though, right? Anyways, okay, so next question. Do you have any advice for others that may be looking to join the trades?
Just take any opportunity that comes your way, regardless of what it may be, because I thought I wanted to be a sprinkler fitter. And then I went from there to the steam fitter, pipe fitter was the first job that I was able to secure after working in sprinkler fitting for 4 months. And I was just like, yeah, I was pretty much willing to like just give up the one trade, because I was like, you know, I only have 4 months invested in this. And that was 4 months that I was on the tools, and it was good experience, and it's knowledge that I've taken to this day. But at the same time, I mean, when I went to go to apply to jobs, I was like, I applied to insulating jobs, I applied tin bashing jobs, steam fitter, pipe fitter, plumber. I applied to everything, and I was just like, when someone was willing to let me get my foot in the door, I just made sure I got my steel toe boots on, and I kicked that door really hard and made sure it stayed open. So I do see some women that they kind of get themselves very I don't know what the word for it is. It's just like very, very narrow vision that they're like, this is what I'm gonna do. And it's like not even just for women in the trades, it's for men as well. It's like you have to be open to the opportunities that come with doing a variety of things, and you have to try to learn as much as you can and be willing to work for it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And something I meant to ask you earlier, you didn't have family in the trades, did you? I mean, I know your husband's in the trade, but did you have like a older?
My father was a power engineer. And the funny part was he tried to get me into the trades my whole like high school into my early 20s. He's like, get in the trades. And I'm like, no, it's what everybody in Fort McMurray does. I want to be an artist. Because that worked out so well.
And then you ended up in the trades.
Yes. Now I can make metal art. So
yeah,
we're pretty much, it's come full circle. But yeah, actually, no, I have a fairly trade-centric. My one grandfather, he worked at a Texaco plant. And then my other grandfather, he was working at the Husky Refinery in Lloydminster. So very trade centric, but I was never really taken under anybody's wing. So that's where I'm really enjoying raising my daughter, taking her under our wing. Like when we're at the farm, she's trying to fix things, even if we don't want her to fix them. And she's, you know, picking up the tools. And I just see so much opportunity for this next generation. And that's where I'd love to see like the schools have a daycare program for kids while we're in trade school, because you know what, maybe we can have those daycares focus on the trades and have it so that our children are looking up to the trades and not like, because as soon as you get into school, there's kind of like this misconception that people in the trades are uneducated, they're dumb, and they're been in the prison system or all sorts of negative mumbo jumbo, which is just okay. Sometimes it's true, but you know, sometimes it's true for lawyers and doctors too. So
we have to lose that stigma for sure. I mean, in the very least, we need to be good at math, and a lot of times we have to be good at science too. Welding, the science not so much. There's a lot of metallurgy. If you haven't figured that out yet, it's coming. Metallurgy was not my favorite part of school, but I actually really like it now, because now, well, you know, maybe a few years after I was done my schooling, it started to make sense. I struggled in school though. So anyways, okay. So
final. But if you work really hard, like I've seen a lot of people that have struggled in high school, and I was like, if you work really, really hard, I was like, that was kind of one thing that always frustrated me in trade school, is that the teachers are like, oh, well, typically, you know, the women are good in the books and the men are better on the tools. That was one of my teachers. And I was like, we just work harder. I was like, I'm sorry, but I had one female friend in school, and she would get up at 4 or 5 a.m. study from 6 a.m. all the way till noon, and she's like, it's awesome because then I have the rest of my day. And I was like, I guarantee you, like, she was top of the class. And I was like, it's not that men are not book smart. I was like, if you work hard enough at anything, you can make it work. Like, I was never a brilliant mathematician, and I got 100% on one math test, and I was just like, I'm excited.
That's perfect.
People are like, who got the 100? And I'm just sitting here, I'm like,
yeah. Well, and if you want it bad enough, you're gonna do whatever it takes to make it successful, right? Like I said, I struggled in school, but I tried. I was determined to get it, and I wasn't gonna take no for an answer because I wanted it so bad, right? And it's funny because my son is in grade 11 right now. I try not to talk to about him too much, but I always talk about him. Last year in grade 10, he was, you know, he doesn't like school, and I didn't either. So I get it. He probably got that from me, but there was some math stuff, and he was like, I don't get it. I don't care. I'm just not going to do it. I'll just fail this part. And I looked at it and I was like, you're adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, fractions. You're going to learn this now because you're going to need it when you join the trades, because he wants to be a welder too. I said, no, you're learning it now, because if you learn it now, you won't struggle later. So he actually got really, really good at it. I just sat down with him, and once you get it right, and you just have to be determined to learn it, right? No matter what it is, whether it's a hand skill like welding, or like all of the steam fitting, pipe fitting that you've already learned, or whether it's the math. If you struggle at math, get a tutor. Get a tutor, because you will get it. You just have to get through it, right? But yeah, it can be done for sure. It definitely can be done. So the final remarks are yours. If there's anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share, discuss, point out, it's all yours.
I want to see women supporting each other more, because I mean, it still does happen sometimes that they're, are women that have, it's one thing I found is that some women that have been in the trades for like 20, 30 plus years, they see some of us, you know, greener journeymen or greener apprentices, and it's not even women, just we all need to support each other more. Yeah. And also from the perspective of a parent, like it's, COVID has been awful. This has just been an awful time for people to lose people, an awful time for people to have friends and family that have cancer, and be the human, like see the struggles that maybe someone's not talking about. Cause I mean, that's one thing I really enjoy about being in the trades is that I find people are more willing to talk to me about personal problems. And I know some women aren't a huge fan of that. But for me, I know the amount of mental stresses that can come with being, you know, the main income provider in your household or having someone in the family that's sick. So I like being that person that people can talk to. And I hope that, you know, men get to learn these communication skills a little bit better too. And I think the more women you have in the trades, it's, some of these things are going to come more natural.
Yeah. You have a really good point there. I say a lot too, that when you're in the trades, it's its own family, really. And your union too. So I always say union brothers and sisters, we're very union strong, and we do, it is a family. Like a lot of times you're spending more time with them than you are with your loved ones at home. Right. I never had brothers, you know, myself, but I have like hundreds, maybe thousands of brothers now just in the trades. And once you get to know each other, you do get to lean on each other. I mean, not every single brother is like that, or sister. But yeah, I think things are changing, right? And you know, we have this whole, the whole mental health has really opened up in the last few years, right? Support mental health. If you see somebody else that you think might be struggling, or if they're just quiet for a couple of days, you know, we should reach out, right? And I was always that one that people would come to talk about their, have a fight with their girlfriend, or the, you know, oh, you know, I'm thinking about buying a house. It's like, why is it my shoulder you're crying on? And then I was like, you know what? I get it. I'm the sister. And, you know, it started happening actually when I started being the older person, because for many years I was the youngest on site, which I'm not anymore. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, we do need to be kinder to each other. We need to be there for each other for sure. And I do think things are changing. I think this generation, like your age and younger, I think they're kinder people. I like to think that. So I'm going to go with that. What do you think?
And I think we just kind of put up with a little less BS too. Like we've noticed that, you know, jobs aren't quite as permanent as they used to be. So we want to be treated well. We don't want to be in a workplace that has hostile people that are throwing hammers at you or yelling at you, swearing at you. Because you know what? The reality of the fact is this job could be like 2 months. This job could be 2 years. It could be, but it's like, I haven't seen anything on the long-term scale of things, even union, non-union alike. So I think this next generation, we kind of see that and we're like, okay, well, you know, if there's not the stability that our parents had, then what are you giving us? And I think some of the older generation kind of gets a little irritated by that kind of attitude, but it's true. I mean, if the longevity isn't there, what are you bringing to the table? And at the very least, you should be bringing a healthy work atmosphere that we want to come to, that we want to be around and joke with our coworkers and have a good time at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, and companies, I think, are seeing that and showing appreciation more because they want to have those, the tradespeople on the short-term jobs return to the next job, because they have really spent a lot of money training them, indoctrinating them, making them a part of the team, even if it was for a short period of time. So like, I'm not going to name names, but I know not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before, there's a large project that's going on in Calgary, and the one contractor took everyone to Lake Louise, everyone and their spouses, paid for a hotel room overnight for their Christmas party, and got gifts and a big party, and nobody could drive because they all were in hotels, right? So it was very safe. But tell me how much that costs, because that costs a lot of money. And when you treat, like companies treat their people well, they're going to come back. So yeah. And I, a couple of my friends got to go to that party and I saw the pictures and I was very jealous. It looked like a lot of fun. So other people see that too. And they're like, hey, I want in on that company. Right. And I have worked for that contractor before, and it is a really good company to work for. So, and they have a good program for women as well. So anyways, is there anything else you wanted to mention in the podcast that we haven't mentioned yet before we close it out?
No. Oh, well, maybe just one quick little comment, you know, union versus non-union. I was like, whether it doesn't matter what side of the fence you are on to me. Like I've worked on both sides of the fence, and I see that a lot of the time in the some of the social groups that women get a little hot over. I mean, women and men get a little hot over the subject. And I was like, no, I'm here to learn These other people are here to learn. I really don't care. I mean, I understand that there's going to be politics to it all, always, but to me, it's like, you're my sister, right, regardless if you're non-union, union, I don't care. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be here for you. And
yeah, absolutely. Women in the trades, or anybody in the trade, we need to help each other out as a tradesperson, first and foremost. I am union. I'm very, very big union. It really, really helped with, is the wage is going to be the same across the board. Mm-hmm. Because that's guaranteed. And when it comes to the hiring process, they go down, when you're union, they go down a list, right? And they get to your name and they say, you know, when a job is available, they go down the list. And when they get to your name, they say, hey, you've got the qualifications. Do you want to go or not? So there's that hiring thing. They don't care if you're green, purple, brown, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you're qualified to go to that job, that, and to me, that really eliminates any job description on the hiring end of it. But yes, we're going to love each other just the same, right? Mm-hmm. If we're all, I mean, I love welders even a little bit more than everybody else because, you know, I'm a welder. So sorry, but you know, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, we do have to stand up for each other on the job sites, on the websites, right? Like Facebook and things like that. And in the real world, right? We need to be there for each other no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Good point. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to turn off the recording, but don't go anywhere because I'm going to send you some swag and stuff and we got to discuss that. So thank you very much. It was great to have you. Thank you so much. Thank I love you. The story. I love that you're dual ticketed, especially that you're becoming a welder.
I chose the best for last. So
yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to stop recording now. Thank you very much for your time and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check us out at trailblazersinc.ca.